today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Bro, when I got to Paris, Texas, I stopped because there's you can't top Paris, Texas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode of our show. You have caught us right in the middle of the Rye Cooter experience. If you've been riding along, I hope you've been enjoying the episodes. It's a deep, deep dive into Rye Cooter's incredibly sprawling musical career. If you listened to the third installment of the series yesterday, we talked about the 1970s albums from Rye Cooter, including some of his best work on some of the most amazing music of the 70s. I think that Kurt Gallagher and I agreed on that. Once again, I want to thank Kurt for all his excellent insight, preparation, and passion for Rye Cooter's music. And today, Kurt is going to guide us through what happened to Rye Cooter in the 1980s when he veered into soundtracks and film scores and scoring films, and he did it in his own inimitable Rye Cooter way. So let's jump in and hear about that now. And we've got the TDK reel-to-reels threaded up here in the studio, the Rock in the Suburbs Tower, and we want to take you right to the good stuff.
When the 1980s came, I don't know, Kurt, I'll let you lay this out. But one thing I'll say is, it's kind of like what you mentioned there. The record company, 10 years of total artistic freedom. And, you know, maybe that wasn't an avenue for him all that much anymore for whatever reason. But there was a new medium that kind of opened up and gave him a platform to express and allow him to chase his muse, right? And that was film music. But How would you characterize where he was when the 80s began, and how did he connect that to film music?
He made another solo album in 1980 called Borderline, which is really good.
Yeah.
And there's a song on there called Crazy About an Automobile that he still plays in his, you know, he always played in his live sets for the next 20 years.
My story.
Go on, tell about it, boy.
Just what I've been doing.
What you been doing, bro?
Well, you know, I used to be particular about the women that I picked.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They used to be tender, lean, and tall. That's all.
Ooh, shit.
But the way things has been going, I take them knock-kneed and bow-legged.
What?
I'll even take them ball.
Oh, no, man.
I'll tell you why.
Please tell me why.
Every woman I know is crazy by an automobile. Shoot, 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 shoot. Every woman I know is crazy by an automobile. Shoot, 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 shoot. And here I am standing with nothing but rubber heels. Say walking women home is a thing of the past. Women wants to ride and ride around in class. Some like Cadillacs, boys. Some like foes. And some like anything as long as it rolls. Crazy about an automobile.
That's right.
But I think he was just becoming bored with it. It was the same cycle.
he was digging up these songs, making these great recordings, and nobody was really caring about what he was doing. The public, I mean, he had his hardcore fans like you talked about.
Yeah. But
the general public, I mean, his records would peak at like 170 on the album charts. If he had 150, that would be like a really good number for him. So that's where his albums were peaking. So, and I think he was just getting tired of that whole routine, and he was looking to explore other avenues. And around that time, he got a call from Walter Hill, who was a really prolific film director. He did The Warriors. We all know The Warriors. He did 48 Hours. He did Brewster's Millions. He did a lot of great movies. But he was a fan of Rye, and he just reached out to Rye, and he said, you know, I think I want to start using some more natural-sounding music in some of my movies, and would you like to try scoring a movie for me? And Rye had worked in movies before. He worked on Performance, on the Performance soundtrack. And so he's no stranger to movies. With Jack Nitzsche, he did write a couple film scores in the late 60s that were rejected, but he did the work, so he knew the process. So Walter Hill called him, and they decided to work on a movie that he was doing called The Long Riders, which is about Jesse James and his family. And it was sort of like a Western. Westerns weren't really big in 1980, but Walter Hill wanted to do this. And Rye came in and just did some really natural sounding, you know, banjo, guitar, early American music, Civil War era, post-Civil War era music. And instead of like most movies have like a classical soundtrack with all these classical themes that they try to build up throughout the movie to create tension and what, but this was just sort of like bluegrass and country and folky American music. And I really like it a lot, what he did on The Long Riders. It was just so natural, and it really felt mixed well with the whole, what was happening in the film with these, it was just the families of these bandits in post-Civil War America. Was his first movie, but he continued to work with Walter Hill. I think he made like 12 movies with him.
Wow.
The next one in 1981, he made Southern Comfort, which was set in Louisiana. And he added, instead of doing like natural American folk and bluegrass music, he added this Japanese flute. It's just so cool. It really gives you a different, like this Japanese flute mixed in with guitars and banjos and stuff, and you're in the swamps in Louisiana. That's a really cool soundtrack. Thank you. Oh, and then he did a movie called The Border with Jack Nicholson.
Yes.
1982. That is such a great mm-hmm. movie. The Border, yeah, I watched that in a couple weeks ago, and it's such a good movie. A lot of Walter Hill stuff wasn't popular at the time in the 80s, but in retrospect, a lot of people have come to realize what a great director he was, and that's one yeah. of his better movies, Across the Borderline. And it's happening in San Antonio, and it's right on the border, and it's all about immigration and illegal immigration. And like, it's almost like that song we were talking about before. This movie could have been made 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, amazing.
They hired Freddie Fender to sing the yeah. theme Across the Borderland. And Across the Borderland from The Border. And that's a really nice recording, the Freddie Fender recording.
It is, yeah. And I will interject here, folks, that when Kurt said he was doing research, he messaged me at one point and said, I just watched The Border. Holy crap. So he's actually gone back and watched a lot of these movies, too. So that's the kind of research we're talking about here, folks. For a free podcast, well, you got to be when really happy about that.
We'll talk about it later, but when I got to Paris, Texas, I stopped because you can't top Paris, Texas, you know.
No.
So we'll talk about that later because that comes a little bit later. But I did try to squeeze in as many of his movies that he did soundtracks for as I could. But in the 80s, he became a very busy film score creator.
So interesting, you know, and you can see that when you look at the discography he made. The Slide Area in 1982, and then it wasn't until 87 that he had another solo album. So he was dedicating a lot of his time to doing these soundtracks. And I really like the way you put it when describing the Long Riders too, Kurt. It's almost like music as a landscape. Cooter realized he could create a landscape out of this with these talents he had, and he was just so adept at doing it that, you know, people could see it and hear it, and obviously, you know, he was in demand to continue to do that.
Yeah, he was great. That's a really good way of putting it, Patrick. Really great. And we'll talk more about that when I get to Geronimo, which is one of his last movies. I think also another reason, I don't know what kind of money he was getting from the Warner Brothers albums like Borderline and The Slide Area, because since they weren't selling well, I don't know what kind of deal he had, but He started getting these movie paychecks, and I think that really helped out a lot in the 80s.
I would imagine, yeah.
Speaking of which, he did a movie called Brewster's Millions, which had really big stars in it, but I don't remember that movie very well, and I wish I would have taken notes on who stars in that movie, because it had some really big names in it.
It did.
Was another Walter Hill movie.
Mm-hmm.
Streets of Fire was another one.
Yep. Yeah, I think Brewster's Millions was one of those where it's like, this is going to make millions. It's going to be like a blockbuster. There was a lot of hype around it, but it never really hit those heights. It was Richard Pryor.
John Candy and Richard Pryor?
John Candy and Richard Pryor are in that, yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, we're still not talking about it. Someone must have screwed something up.
Yeah, it was one of those things where a couple of guys come up with a scheme, you know, they're going to make a fortune, and things go wrong. I'll give you the platform to talk about Paris, Texas, too. But I think one movie that was a very logical association for Rye was Crossroads, and the story of... I think is it Ralph Macchio who plays the hard shot guitar player who
unfortunately yes it was yeah. Ralph Macchio.
It was the Karate Kid, unfortunately.
That was the leak the weak link in that movie,
yeah.
I think, because they did a great job, the writers, the musicians. There was a bunch of musicians working on that movie. Rye Cooter scored the movie, but he also was the consultant for all the everything musical in that movie. Arlen Roth was another guy who had one of these companies that sold videotapes. It was called Hot Licks.
Uh-huh.
And he had more like rock and roll players. on Hot Licks, and Joe Pass is, he had jazz and rock and roll players. The Joe Pass Hot Licks video is classic.
There you go.
And he did one with, I don't want to take on a sidetrack. We'll talk about this off the air. But so Arlen Roth, who was Hot Licks video and Rye, and then there was a classical trained player because Ralph Macchio went to Juilliard and studied classical guitar in the movie. But he secretly was really into the blues and he wanted to go down south and visit the crossroads and look for this lost Robert Johnson track. It was based on a lot of the mythology from Robert Johnson selling his soul to the devil at the crossroads. Yep. It's in the song. It's in all the stories. And the writer did a really good job on it. And Rye did a great job on the music. There's just so much great music in that movie. The reason they hired Ralph Macchio is because he was famous because of the Wax On, Wax Off. What was that movie? The Karate Kid.
Karate Kid, yep.
And that was like movie executives trying to cash in on the popularity of a superstar. Because Sean Penn wanted to play the role in Crossroads.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Tom Cruise auditioned for the role.
Wow.
And they gave it to Ralph Macchio because he was hot off of the Wax On, Wax Off movie.
Yeah.
Karate Kid, which is a great movie, and I like the sequels to Karate Kid. But so he was the kid that played the classical guitar and wanted to go down south and play the blues. And they hired Steve Vai to come in and play the devil.
Yeah.
So cool. Rye and Arlen had written this guitar battle thing, but the executives are like, we like it, but it's just not... It's not evil enough. We need more like a heavy metal person. Rye knew Steve Vai and reached out to him and talked him into playing the guitar parts. And Rye did one guitar player and Steve Vai did the other guitar player in their little duel that they had at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But the movie executives saw Steve Vai and are like, he should be in the movie. He should play the part of the evil guitar guy.
Oh,
so they put Steve Vai in the movie. He plays the part and he acts the part in Crossroads. So yeah, that was a fun movie. I remember seeing it back in the day, but I haven't seen it since. I didn't make that one part of my research.
Yeah, neither have I. And I do remember though being disappointed when I got the soundtrack album that the guitar battle was not included. It's not featured. It's only in the movie. And I really wanted it to be on the soundtrack album, like at the end, but
that happens a lot, especially with Rye stuff. They pick, they don't put the movie music on the soundtrack. They record new tracks for the soundtrack.
Yeah,
I don't know why they do that.
It's strange. Yeah, it's very strange.
Well, now with YouTube, you could probably look up the battle and...
Who sent you here? Can't talk, little man? Bet can't play none either.
Little bit about Paris, Texas, and then, you know, others here that took place. I mean, he did some work with the Chieftains talking about typical Rod Cooter, but last year or the year before, I can't remember which one of my offspring gave me a subscription for 1 year of the Criterion Channel. So I had access to all these movies, and a lot of them were movies that I had maybe seen once in an art house theater when they came out, but I hadn't seen again. And one of those was Paris, Texas. And as soon as I started watching it, I was like, oh man, I'm transported back to this movie with Dean Stockwell driving across the, you know, plains to try to find Harry Dean Stanton. And Rye's music is just so perfect in that movie. So talk about that and Wim Wenders and how that all happened.
It's just one of the highlights of Rye's career, if you ask me, this whole Paris, Texas thing. Just one of the greatest movies ever. Wim Wenders, the German director, he met Sam Shepard at an audition for another movie. And Sam Shepard had some stories that he gave to Wim Wenders. And Wim said, yeah, I think we can do something with this. So he actually went down to San Antonio. That's coming up a lot, but he went down to the Texas border and he started filming down there. And I don't know if he had Harry Dean Stanton at that time, but he was just filming sort of like the geography, just the landscape.
Yeah.
And he cut together a short film and he went up to Santa Monica and set up a meeting with Rye. And he said, let me show you this film that I have. And Rye went to Wim Wenders. I don't know. He was staying at somebody else's house and they put this on the screen and he started playing the recording from his first album of the Blind Willie Johnson song. Dark is the Night. Dark is the Night.
Right.
I'm sorry. So Wim Wenders did a little sneaky move there. He's like, he took Rye's recording of the song Dark is the Night and put it as the background music for this footage that he took for this movie he was going to make. And he said, you know what? I think you would be great for this movie. Would you be willing to score it? And he's like, yes, I'd be willing to score it. Totally. So that Dark is the Night, that Blind Willie Johnson stuff, which was just so perfect when Harry Dean Stanton was just like wandering around the desert, you know, not talking to anybody. He had disappeared for 4 years. He was down in Mexico and he wasn't talking to anybody. And he was just at death's door walking through the desert. And he's in Rye's there playing this Dark is the Night, this Blind Willie. And it's just so freaking perfect. And there's a scene when his brother finds him and they go back up to Los Angeles and they're in a house that reminds me of the house that I read about that Rye grew up in, which is on a hill.
Oh, really? Yeah.
On a hill above the Santa Monica Airport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how he grew up. And that was the house that his brother lived in Paris, Texas. And there's a scene in this movie where they're watching these Super 8 movies. It's of Harry Dean Stanton when he was married to Natasha yeah. Kinski. I'm using the real people's names
because
I don't know the characters' names off the top of my head. But they took some Super 8 movies of them when they were in happier times, when they were newlyweds, of both couples on a vacation together with their little baby,
yeah.
who was in the movie. And there's just the camera work in that scene is so incredible because you see four of the people in current life sitting on a couch watching this film. And you see on the screen them from, you know, 5 or 6 years earlier with Natasha Kinski additionally and the baby. And he's going into their faces and you're just feeling all these emotions.
Yeah.
It's every emotion you can imagine is in that scene. And Wim Wenders is such a master of that kind of a stuff. That scene just kills me. And the music that Rye put behind that scene is called Canción Mixteca. And that comes, Dark as the Night comes up a lot in Paris, Texas, but this song comes up a lot too, because that was their song. That was the song that they danced to at their wedding or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was their song. And I, as I'm watching the scene, I'm just listening to the guitar and I'm thinking, this guy is just, he's just playing emotions. I'm not thinking about strings or an instrument or any kind of the mechanics of music. It was just pure emotion coming out of the instrument and pure emotion from the filmmaker with the expressions on the faces of these characters. I just think it's one of the greatest scenes in the history of movies.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, he does the Canción Mixteca. I think he does that with the Chieftains when they made this album, San Patricio, which is about German immigrants in Mexico. Maybe Irish immigrants in Mexico. I'd have to look that up. But it's about some immigrants in Mexico. But the Chieftains made this whole album about these people, and they did a version of Canción Mixteca on that album, and I think it's the best version, because Harry Dean Stanton, who I love so much, and he made one of my favorite movies of all time, besides Paris, Texas, which is Repo Man.
Yeah.
But he sings the song on the soundtrack, and I love it, and it's great. But I think the instrumental version with the Chieftains is the version to listen to. Yeah, he started doing a lot of, he was really, with this movie soundtrack stuff, he was really exploring. He actually did a soundtrack for a movie that starred Ice Cube and Ice-T.
Oh my gosh.
It was another Walter Hill production, but it was, the movie was called Trespass. Nobody saw it, but it starred Ice-T and Ice Cube and Bill Paxton. And it was like an urban movie set in St. Louis, and Rye had to do like some sort of hip hop kind of like urban music. And if you just listen to Trespass, main title from Trespass, you'll get a little feel for that. In Geronimo, he used Tuvan throat singers. So he was trying to create an atmosphere for Apache Indians, Apache Native Americans, for the Geronimo story. And there's no like history of what Apache music sounded like. No one knows. It's a mystery. So he had to create something that sounded Apache, and he had heard about Tuvan throat singers. He went up to Canada to find a group of Tuvan throat singers who were on tour, and he asked them to be on this soundtrack, and they went down to LA and recorded for this soundtrack. So if you listen to Train to Florida from Geronimo, which is a pretty good movie. There's a lot of big name actors in this Geronimo story. You'd have to look it up. It's another Walter Hill production. It's called Geronimo, an American Legend, from 1993. And if you listen to Train to Florida, you'll hear a lot of the crazy sounds that he's coming up with, including the Tuvan throat singers.
Oh,
So he kept doing movies until 1998. He did Primary Colors.
Yeah.
Which was starred John Travolta. It was based on the book by Anonymous, the book about Bill Clinton by Anonymous, who everybody knows.
Yeah.
Who that was. The End of Violence, another Wim Wenders movie that didn't turn out so well, but he did the soundtrack for that. I haven't seen The End of Violence. I have to watch that. Oh, and he did Last Man Standing, which was a Bruce Willis film. It was based on a Kurosawa film. So yeah, he was really busy. Oh, and he did a film with Louis Malle. Oh, I want to talk about this one for a second. He did a film with Louis Malle, and Ry Cooter worked with Lee Ving of Fear on the soundtrack. The movie's called Alamo Bay, Louis Malle in 1985. And if you look it up, there's a song called The Last Stand with Lee Ving singing and Ry Cooter doing all the music.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
So he was following his muse and exploring and coming up with new stuff. And there's a goldmine of stuff, and there's a lot of compilations of his movie music. So yeah, if you see those CDs in the bins, grab them, put them on.
Absolutely. There's always something good that you can find on those things. And you know, like we were talking about, exposed a different side or opened up a different side to Ry Cooter's genius that he, you know, could, like you were saying, it was emotion that he was, and, you know, his body kind of became the instrument. He wasn't thinking about it. He was just, refer to what Kurt said earlier. He said it much better than me.
but what? Yeah, the 80s was soundtracks for Ry, mostly soundtracks.
Heavily.
What we heard right there, The Last Stand, Ry Cooter with Lee Ving from Fear doing the vocals. How about that? That is something you wouldn't expect Ry Cooter to be involved with, but that was from the soundtrack to the movie Alamo Bay. All kinds of interesting stuff that Ry did on those soundtracks. Really, really cool. And enjoy it very, very much. We are going to go out now to close out this episode with a song that was mentioned in the episode, but we didn't hear at that point. And it's Across the Borderland from the movie The Border, and it features Freddie Fender. So I think you'll find that interesting. And we want everybody to stay tuned. We've got more to come. Believe it or not, Ry Cooter, after 3 decades of playing music, has yet to hit what many consider to be his most famous album and probably best-selling of his career. So that'll be coming up soon. So with that, we encourage everyone to continue listening, and we will talk to you guys about Ry Cooter tomorrow.
There's a land, so I've been told, every street is paved with gold, and it's just across the borderline. And when it's time to take your turn, here's a lesson you must learn. You could lose more than you ever hope to find. And when you reach the broken promised land, every dream slips through your hand, then you'll know it's too late to change your mind. Cause you paid the price to come this far, just to wind up where you are. And you're still just across the borderline. Up and down the Rio Grande, a thousand footprints in the sand reveal a secret no one can define. The river flows on like a breath.
At death's door, walking through the desert, and Rye's there playing this Dark as the Night, this blind, and it's just so freaking perfect.